Hello, hello. Welcome back to Inspiring African Travel. This is James here. And welcome to episode 5 of series 8, Africa's Transformational Travel Power. Now, I know I say this a lot, but today's episode is really brilliant. I talked to Linda Jean, who is a life coach with a fascinating take on what makes transformative travel truly transformative. Full disclosure, Linda is actually my life coach and Stuart's as well. She's been a regular part of our lives and has played a huge role in guiding me personally through some of the toughest moments of my life. But what makes this episode really interesting, I think, is that we take a deep dive into the transformative travel process in Africa from multiple angles. Not just from a traveler's perspective, but also, like we spoke in the last episode with Dave, the safari guide's role in being the facilitator of transformative travel moments. Today, we explore how the travel planner or the travel specialist facilitates the incredible transformative moments that happen for people when they're out in Africa, how they help actually bring these life-changing experiences to life in the way that they craft these trips to Africa for travelers. During this conversation, Linda shares some amazing fun anecdotes of her travel moments as a youngster and today, how she travels with her family in Cape Town. We discuss all sorts about how travel in Africa can be so profound an experience in today's busy and overstimulated world. And what I love is the fact that Linda brings in some incredible lessons for those of us working in the travel industry. She shares what she's learned over the years through her travel experiences as a professional in that space, and importantly, how burnout in the travel sector is affecting us all and how it can be prevented. And I think the same applies for so many other people in other sectors as well. I think travelers will also find value in our chat as we explore their part in the journey as well. Linda is amazing. And if you enjoy this episode and you feel like it speaks to you, please feel welcome to reach out to us or to Linda directly. You can follow her on LinkedIn. She's really active on there. Or check out her website at acorn-consulting.co.za or take a look at our website, inspiringafricantravel.com. You'll see some links to her website and the socials as well. Should be all over that as well. Here it is. Here we are. And hope you enjoy this episode and you've been enjoying the series so far. Please let us know what you think and so looking forward to catching up with you guys again soon. Cheers. At one point, I was going to say, as we kicked off, how nice it is to be on the other side of the computer, so to speak.
Yes.
Questioning you.
It's really interesting, isn't it?
It's interesting. But then I realized, actually, it's not like I'm ever intimidated be talking to you anyway. So it's
always hopefully never feeling grilled.
No, exactly. And I think we've spoken about this before. Like sometimes people have this preconceived idea about what coaching or therapy sessions are like. Mm. Oh, they're going to give me homework or there's going to be lots of questions. Mm. And it's other than the first couple of chats where we get to know each other, after that, it's just something you look forward to. It's just a chat. It's wherever you feel on the day, just flow out.
100%. I would imagine I'm probably feeling now like a lot of my clients do in the first or second appointment with me, where they might feel like, okay, I have to say the right thing. You know, if someone asks me, I have to sound clever, you know, but you don't. Yeah. You just have to just spit it out.
So I'm going to roll straight into, because I think this is going to be easy for you, because this is something that's a part of your role in your daily life and everything, and that's the word transformation. I actually keep changing it. If you've probably I've seen it now on the website and in the notes. It's transformational travel, transformative travel. Anyway, the word's one thing, transform, transformative, transformation.
Transform is the key, the root.
That's it.
Beautiful.
So what do you think, when you're seeing it popping up on travel websites and things like that, what comes to mind in terms of from a coaching background and travel background?
Interesting question. I think it's two different things. From a travel background, when I see the word transformational, part of me sort of cringes, a little bit like seeing the word authentic, where I think, you're right. What are you really offering here? How is this transformational? What's really going on here? And is just a run-of-the-mill trip or adventure, how transformational can that really be? But that's really cynical, you know? And I've worked in travel long enough to get enough feedback from guests who really say that the time they spend not just traveling, but specifically in Africa, because that's my area, obviously, specifically that time in Africa, how transformational it has actually been and how changed they feel when they leave. The second part of it is, as a coach, I 100% in the believe that transformation is possible through lots of different means. And travel experiences and immersion is just one of those means.
I fully agree. But do you think that now, because this term has been flying around, I don't know, for a few years, let's say, what do you think is happening in society now? Why is it coming up? Why is it popping up now as something that it's clearly appealing to people, isn't it? It's talking to people out there.
Yeah. I think it's the same reason why the word hospital is the root word in hospitality. I think people seek travel and adventure as a means of healing. They're searching for something. We are searching for something. I think the world has reached a state of illness and dis-ease and kind of this fever pitch of energy and noise and chaos. And a lot of us are realizing that there must be something more. And we are actively seeking that out now.
In one of your social media clips, you talked about the ability to take a step back, if you like. And letting them ask themselves the question, or you asking it for them on their behalf. What do you need from your life? What are your motivational hungers? Because we get caught up in the rat race and it's like, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to start a business, I've got to do the garden, and you know, you get. But somehow I feel that travel and a trip away is a chance for people to leave that all behind and see clearly, like wait for like this moment where they can actually go, oh, you know, why am I running around doing all of this? Why am I thinking all of this? And I'm sure that's where what people are seeking, that chance to get away. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, I think what you're talking about is perspective. And in the same way that coaching offers perspective as a real gift, because it allows you, as you say, to take a step back and for someone to shine a light, for the coach to shine a light in a new direction and say, well, have a look at this. This is interesting. Tell me more about that. And it's not someone presenting the answers to you or telling you what the solution is, but it's helping you to think in a new way. And I think similarly, when you travel, it helps you to think in a new way. It helps you to think and see yourself and how you fit in a new way. You know, in 2007, my husband and I took a 1-year-long honeymoon. I mean, our parents were horrified. We quit our jobs. We sold our cars. We sold our house. We cashed in our Provident funds. We emptied our savings pockets and we bought round-the-world tickets and backpacks, and off we went. And we spent a year traveling 16 countries on foot and boat and train and bus and planes and whatever. And I promise you, James, at least 10 times during that experience, my husband and I said to each other, we looked at each other and said, we must never forget that there is another way of living life. Like, this is real, you know, this is special. And we don't have to get caught up in that rat race. But being away and being away from home, away from loved ones, and in a totally new environment allowed us that perspective, which was just magic.
Love it. I love the fact that you guys were on that trip and in the moment.
100%.
Realizing. Yeah. Are you sure this wasn't one of those trips that was always just planned? And then
never.
You guys said, no, no, what I'm saying is, you know, when you meet couples and they go, oh, we never went on honeymoon. And then the other partner says, yeah, but we went, you know, for that long weekend. And that wasn't our honeymoon. That's a proper honeymoon.
Proper honeymoon. I mean, we were very spoiled because we had a real, in inverted commas, honeymoon as well. I was working at And Beyond at the time, and we were very spoiled because we had a few nights on Zanzibar for honeymoon, and we also went down to the bush. We were in Pinda in KwaZulu-Natal and had a few nights there, which I must say was the absolute highlight of that short honeymoon. It was incredible.
Gee, so you guys are rocking up with your backpacks to these five-star.
Just about, yeah. As very ordinary folk with these very sophisticated tourists, and we were in our early 20s and just kind of bumbling through, but it was amazing.
Yeah. Sounds like my kind of honeymoon. Good for you. And it's good that you brought that up because you spoke about a couple of things on that trip. That one of them was that you were quite intentional as you were going along, going, oh, let's remember this. This is something, and you realize it. You're most likely never going to repeat something like that again.
Yeah.
Get into it. So we spoke about different elements of transformative travel on this podcast. In fact, in the same episode when I was talking to Stuart, we're like, oh, yeah, transformation. It's just something that happens while you're traveling. You can't plan it. And then in the same chat later on, we were going, yeah, but it's very good to be intentional and like,
yes,
work towards something and then focus on that as your transformational travel experience, because then you're going to get the most out of it. So I don't know, maybe the answer is a bit of both, but what is your thought on that? Like,
it's such a good point. I think it is both. I think being intentional is important in that if there is some kind of goal or outcome you are striving for, it gives you something to aim for, right? But what I love is that it, along the journey towards that goal, that's where the kind of happy accidents happen, where along the way there are these little moments or little miracles, and that's the magic of the stuff. It's so often not about where you land up, but where, I mean, I know it sounds very twee, but it is about the journey.
On your trip with your hubby, is there something when someone suddenly reminds you of that year that you had together, is there a memory that comes to mind specifically? And I'm not talking about a place,
yeah,
just a moment. I mean, I like the fact that you said so often you were speaking about the trip, but I don't know, was there a transformative travel moment for you on that trip?
Oh my gosh, James, I mean, I could never pin it down.
No.
To one, there's so many clear memories. I mean, I'm just looking now, I'm sitting at my desk in my office, and just above my head here in a beautiful frame is a photograph of my hubby and I floating in the sea off the coast of Thailand with our toes sticking out of the water in the ocean. And we started, when we were traveling, we got so sick of taking selfies that we started to take foot pictures. And we took pictures of our feet all over the world in all these amazing destinations. And I promise you, I can look through those photos and I can tell you which places the feet are in, you know, just by looking at the surroundings. And every time I look at that photo of our feet in the sea, it takes me straight back to that moment. I can picture the scooter. I can picture the little hut that we stayed in on the beach. I can picture the rum we were drinking. I can picture us laughing and rocking in the hammock. You know, it just takes you straight back. It's quite amazing how vivid memories can be. And yet some of them are so vague. A lot of the trip, I couldn't tell you, you know, what we did or where we went or what we ate or whatever. It's kind of all just mushed into one beautiful memory. But some of them, you razor sharp.
I guess it's the, you're going back into that moment where you said you can hear the motorbike and you can smell the salt air and you can taste the pina colada. The other day I was listening to the best of the 90s
mix. Excellent. Love it. Now.
It was so much fun. And these tracks were coming up and I was like, I was so happy. Mm. I was thinking to myself, why am I so happy? Why am I enjoying these songs so much? Some of them I hadn't heard for many, many years. And then I worked backwards from it and I thought to myself, because it was every song would take me to a very vivid, specific memory. Mm. And they were random. One of them was, you know that, do you remember Informa?
Oh, my word, yes.
So I was just, it took me straight down to my dad's basement where he started a business in his house.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like standing there and he was faxing something. And it's completely random memory, but like it just, and I realized that it must be something to do with the brain connecting to a part of accessing some part of the neurons or whatever.
Yes.
And then it must be an endorphin kick.
Yeah.
When it happens, because it's like suddenly it triggers something and connects something. And then that was my theory anyway, that I completely made up, but it kind of made a lot of sense at the time. But I guess going to your trip and those memories and seeing those pictures, it's the same sort of moment. It might not necessarily be a moment where you feel like there was an epiphany or a transformative moment, but special memory.
Mm. 100%. And what you remind me of now when you're speaking is the fact that it's so sensory, you know, and when you have those clear memories, it's often because there was such a clear sound, a song or a noise or a voice, often with music especially, that triggers memories for us.
Going back to your early days in and beyond and Sangeeta and stuff.
Yes.
I thought it'd be interesting to chat about your connection that you had with travelers, because you used to plan trips at one point in your career.
I did, yes.
And those in the travel space know that, you know, Sangeeta especially definitely talk a lot about conservation, but also and sustainability and the epic places, but also very much a language of changing your life and transforming and that sort of thing.
Mm.
What was your take on all of it when you were a consultant? Were you too busy wrapped up in the hustle of planning trips, or was it special?
No, it was special. I mean, I wasn't always guest facing. For the first part of my career and beyond, I worked in sales. So I was a sales coordinator, worked in the sales team, and then back into sales as inbound sales manager after that. So that was all about relationship building, because I was working directly with the trade, which I absolutely loved. A lot of that was around networking and functions and contracting and negotiating, and those were all really enjoyable things. And it was mostly, I would use the word fun, feels about right. And then when I moved to Sangeeta, I moved in a very different capacity. They asked me to come and run their revenue team, which was amazing, but it was totally internally focused. So my relationships deepened with my consultants. Not my consultants, but you know what I mean, with the consultants. And there were 22 of them at that time. So it was quite a big team. And only when I moved to become a travel planner, when I decided I wanted to have more flexibility and work from home, I had two young children, started working as a travel planner. And then I understood what it was to work with guests. First of all, to be available to guests, because wow, it's not a joke. If you've never worked in a guest-facing role, it's hard to explain. But there's an intensity that comes with being at the end of the phone and emails from, you know, with those guests, because when they want you now. And of course, with high net worth individuals, they are used to getting what they want immediately. So that's quite something. But again, it came down to relationships. I had the most deep, fun, warm, natural relationships develop with my guests. Not all of them. I mean, some people just travel and that's just the way it is. But there are a few that are really memorable. And, you know, James, I mean, one thing that indicates how special it can be, when I first started coaching, I had only been coaching for about 6 months or so. I got a LinkedIn message from a guest of mine who had traveled with me several times at Sangeeta. And he said, Linda, I see you're a coach now. You helped me so much in the years of my trips and travels, and I appreciated it. I have got a teenage son who's really having a hard time, and I trust you. So would you be prepared to coach my son? From his travel planner to wow. his teenager's coach, and it's all based on relationships and trust. Talk about an honor.
Yeah. Wow. That's an incredible story. Well, then clearly it points to, yes, you built a great relationship with them because you were efficient and it was a big trip and there was lots going on and you got to know each other on emails and calls and stuff. But clearly there's a link, strong link, to the trips that they did when that you planned for them in Africa, right?
Yes.
Humbling them and changing their life. Can you remember some of those examples that they had? Was it a family holiday? Did the teenagers go?
Well, it's interesting because this is how you sort of watch these dynamics unfold, you see. So when they first started traveling with me, so they were an Italian family. And when they first started traveling with me, it was mom, dad, and two young boys. And over the years, things changed because mom and dad split up. So then it became dad and two boys. Then it became dad and girlfriend and two boys. So you could actually watch the shift in real time in their lives and their experiences. And it must have been interesting for them. They used to go to the same lodges over and over, you know, which has always fascinated me with guests. A lot of people do that. They pick, okay, they love Sangeeta Ebony Lodge or whatever, and they go year after year or even several times a year to the same lodge. And I mean, your audience will know that, you know, at most of the big brands, when you get these repeat guests, they are obviously treated like family by the staff. I mean, they land up having things named after them and they have special cocktails and they have name badges and some of them have uniform, they have linen that's monogrammed, whatever it might be. We try and make those people feel as special as possible. But what is it that brings them back to the same lodge and very often the same room and the same bed time and time again? And woe betide you if they don't get the same room. And you always try and say you can't guarantee it, but people want that. They want to relive that moment.
Well, you said it there. Maybe it's that deep desire to relive the moment, you know, the moment when they probably, I think there's so much to be said for going back to the same place on travel. You know, there's a time where we're wired to like tick places off the list.
Yeah.
You know, it used to drive me crazy where you'd hear people go like, oh, I've done South Africa, you know?
Oh, yes.
I've done Australia. But you've done it? How did you do it?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a thing to be finish. Done.
Done, yeah.
Going back to a place can be so rewarding because you've broken down that layer of uncertainty and you can start to discover other elements of it and relive some of those moments of that first feeling of feeling vulnerable or feeling in awe out in the plains of Africa.
And to share it, James, don't you think? I mean, one of the places that my husband, Fabia, and I went to was in Argentina. There was this little town called San Martin de los Andes. And I'll remember we arrived on the bus and it was bucketing down with rain, bucketing. And I had my jacket on, my backpack on, and this bright orange cover, this rain protector over my backpack. And we trudged through the streets because we didn't quite know where we were going or what we were going to do. And it was pouring with rain. And we landed up finding through our Lonely Planet book, you know, because that's how we did everything was Lonely Planet. We landed up finding this little cottage that we rented. And we had a little house of our own, and we'd been staying in backpackers and hostels for months. So it was so nice to have our own little cottage, and we were so excited to cook. And I mean, you know, we're so British. What did we cook? Bangers and mash. I mean, honestly, in Argentina. But anyway, we made it. And the main thing, even at the time, I remember thinking, I have to come back here one day. I have to come back here because it's like this little Swiss village. It's beautiful. And now that we've got children, we've got teenagers, we still talk about one day, guys, one day we're going to take you to San Martin de los Andes, and next door is Bariloche, and we're going to go skiing, and we're going to stay in that same little cottage that mom and dad cooked bangers and mash in when it was raining. So it's that sharing that that I think is the, for me, why I would want to go back.
I couldn't agree with you more. I wonder who will get the most out of that experience back in Argentina. Kids, you got to see this.
I know, and they're like, what? Wow, okay, this is odd. We did an interesting thing yesterday, James, just as a side note. We moved from Johannesburg in 2012 to Cape Town, and when I started working at Singita. And ever since we moved, we've been threatening to do the city, the red bus in Cape Town.
Oh, yeah.
The hop-on, hop-off experience with the open-topped bus. And we've been talking about it for years. And yesterday was my husband and my 19th wedding anniversary. And we debated what to do. You know, should we go for massages, or should we go for lunch, or should we whatever? And we decided, no, we're going to take the kids. We're not just going to go, the two of us. We're going to take the kids, and we're going to go and do the red bus, finally. And it was the most outstanding experience. And I thought they might be a bit kind of teenage eye-rolly at the whole thing. And they weren't. They really enjoyed it, and they were so open to it. And at the end of the day, they genuinely thanked us, which is also rare, for sharing the day with them and for taking them on a fun experience. So there's hope for us yet with our teenagers.
Brilliant. I can see the podcast title now, Linda, your transformative travel experience, open top bus in Cape Town.
Hop on and hop off. That's a moral, it's a slogan for life, really. Sometimes we hop on and sometimes we hop off.
Yeah. Well, it's, you're spot on. And maybe, you know, maybe we're overlooking this entire topic, and transformational travel is, it's just about just get out there, you know, wherever you are. We keep going back to this, but it's getting out of all those layers of familiarity in your comfortable environment. Yes. And you can then bond as a family and look at things and chat about things and let your imagination go.
And there are no rules, James. It doesn't have to be just right or just perfect or even expensive. I mean, yesterday I had a laugh because like any good tourist, I went onto a Facebook page before we decided to book the red bus. And I said, you know, this is us and our family of four, and we're keen to do it. And what do you all think? Which route do you suggest? Because there's several routes. Which route do you suggest? And where do you suggest we stop for lunch? Because I like to research things. You know, for me, researching, and that's why I loved travel planning, researching it and planning it is half the fun of the experience for me. I don't know what it's like for you. But I know I'm not alone in that. A lot of people love it, which is why they start planning like 2 years in advance or whatever. Anyway, the overwhelming feedback that we got was to do the coastal route. It's called the Blue Peninsula route, which includes Hout Bay. And they suggested that we go for lunch at a particular restaurant in Hout Bay. Anyway, our children were, I think, embarrassed because we arrived and we walked into the restaurant and we said, can we see the menu, please, before we sat down? And I opened the menu and it was eye-watering, to say the least. Because obviously it's designed for international tourists and not for locals, which is sad. So we said our thanks and promptly left the restaurant and jumped on back onto the bus and said to the bus driver, oh my word, that place is way too expensive. Where do you think we should go? And now his job is not to be a tour guide, right? His job is just to drive the bus. But of course he knows the area. He knows what's great. And he said, I'll do you a favor. I'm going to drop you down the road, which is also above and beyond. He doesn't have to do that. In fact, he'd probably get into trouble if his supervisors found out that he was dropping us down the road. And off we jumped down the road, went round the corner to a greasy fish and chip takeaway. And for a quarter of the price, sat down and had the most delicious calamari, prawns, fish, chips, vinegar, tomato sauce, the whole thing. And actually, it made the experience that much more fun because it was off the beaten track.
So I always say to guests when they're traveling in Africa is, you know, you're so comfortable in that environment and you're not afraid to ask. And I think some travelers, when they come, they're a little bit shy and they feel a bit reserved, especially the Brits. But, you know, in Africa, we're open and we love to chat. And so ask, you know, ask the question, engage. You're going to get the most out of it and you might get a surprise like that.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, nice. I wanted to take a final detour. There's been some connections with some of the other chats I've had about different transformative travel moments and experiences and how you have it. But earlier on, you were talking about the intensity when you moved into a travel sales role, which quite interesting. You did a little bit later on, quite often in the travel career, in, you know, you start off as a travel consultant, but you kind of moved there.
Yeah.
And you were responsible for putting together some pretty intense trips and a lot of money on the line and a lot of expectations. People are definitely nowadays going away saying, we're seeking a trip of a lifetime here. Connecting that now to your role as a life coach, that you coach all sorts of people from all sorts of walks of life, but your original connection out there in the industry was talking to travel people who are in the travel industry going, are you seeking somebody who gets what you do and understands the travel sector? And I think you see where I'm going with this line of questioning. Do you think there is something systemically wrong or potentially out there with regards to travel burnout in the sector? And, you know, maybe just talk a little bit about what you've witnessed over the years.
You know, it's an important thing that you're raising, James. I mean, if I look at my 4 and a bit years as a coach, working primarily with people in the tourism industry, and of those, mostly travel planners or travel managers or journey advisors, or, you know, there's all sorts of names for the same thing. But if you are someone who's designing itineraries for guests and you are guest facing, the level, you use the word intensity, the level of intensity is unreal. Because I think it's very difficult to be boundaried between home and work. You know, your phone is pinging and ringing, your emails are going, guests are traveling. If something goes wrong with their flight at 2 a.m, you're the one getting called. It's intense. And I'm busy working with a group of travel managers at the moment at a well-known Cape tour operator. And we're working there, about 7 or 8 of them. And in my reports that I'm doing for their management team, like, at least half, I'm saying this is major burnout warning. You know, you see it, you see irritability, you see fatigue, you see headaches, you see general confusion, brain fog, overwhelm. You know, people get frazzled. Every time their phone beeps for a message, they kind of jump out of their skin. I hear them saying things like, you know, Linda, I can't sit down and have dinner with my family, because a lot of them are working with the American market. And the Americans only start waking up at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And that's when naturally, for most of us in South Africa, at least, we should start winding down for the day. They're only gearing up. So very often across dinner time, when you should be sitting at a table with your family sharing a meal, you are on a Zoom call with a guest planning an itinerary. So you are right, James, that burnout is pretty significant. But I don't think it's the industry per se. I think it's a symptom of modern life. These things being experienced by these travel managers or travel planners are not unique to the travel industry. They are across the globe. The world is taking strain. People are struggling. And the beautiful thing about coaching, and that's why I find it such a privilege to do what I do, is that we are here as coaches to equip people with the tools to figure out how to cope with their reality. If it's not serving you, by all means, let's help you out of that reality into something else. And I've done that with several people. They say, Linda, I hate my job. I can't do it for one more minute. There's a lifespan on being in a very intense guest-facing role. So if you want to leave, come, let's help you transition. And there's no shame in that, James. You don't have to say, you know, I feel like I'm betraying my company or my guests or my whatever. Nothing is forever. It's okay to have a chapter and move on. But for those wishing to stay, and often it's a very lucrative role, the commissions are high, so you get kind of a golden handcuffs situation going on. But if they want to stay, then we work together to equip that person with the tools they need to build themselves up, to bolster themselves, to boundary themselves, and take it more in their stride. Some of the best travel managers I've ever seen, or travel planners, are people who, this is going to sound weird, but they almost don't care as much as the others. If you're someone who can just take it in your stride and get on with it and treat it the way it needs to be treated, which is an important job, but it's not your entire life that you live and breathe, it's a much healthier approach. I think with a lot of travel managers, women in particular, they tend to want to be perfect and they want to please the guests. People pleasing is a very scary disease. And if you want to people please at the risk of your own sanity, your own health, your own mental well-being, this kind of job can be all-consuming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, coaching can help for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I can just hear everybody listening right now as you're talking and going, oh, yeah, that's me. Oh, I can feel it. And isn't it, it's amazing, you know, when you're listening to a podcast, just to feel heard. And and I think that's what coaching can help as well, is allowing someone to vent for a while and then go, okay, cool, well, I'm here to help you. And as you said, it's not just travel consultants and travel specialists, and right throughout the travel sector, I see it in the marketing roles, sales trips, you know, out there, burning out, traveling, relationship building, you know, putting your work relationships ahead of your social family relationships. The list is ever ending, but it's not exclusive to travel. And yeah, and I think sometimes, I don't know, I was about to ask you sort of a question of why now, but I think that's a whole nother discussion. But it's this sort of, tech has a lot to do with it, I'm sure of it. You know, this instant form of communication and expectation of answering. And we even see it in our lodges and camps in Botswana and beyond, where people are like, we've got Wi-Fi in the camps, you know? And so the first thing they'll do in the camp room or arrival at the camp is, instead of speaking to one of the managers to say, oh, we're not quite sure this lodge, this room wasn't what we expected, or we thought we were going to be here for 2 nights and not 3 nights. They'll SMS, they'll WhatsApp their travel consultant in Cape Town or America or the UK. And they're like, well, you're there at the lodge.
James,
speak to the staff.
I kid you not. I had a guest phone me once late at night to say, please, can I arrange for the air conditioning to be turned down?
That doesn't
surprise
me.
They didn't pick up the phone next to the bed and dial 9 like everyone else. Wow. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I haven't done a deep dive analysis into the demographics of our listeners, but I know very well that we've got a large chunk of people in the travel industry who listen to this, but also lots of people who are travelers. And
yes.
I love to throw it out there now, talking now, not as a travel coach for travel industry people, but now your wand of moments to say something to somebody who's a traveler. What would you say to them? You know, like, are they guilty of putting pressure, if you like, on travel consultants? Can they travel in a different mindset to get the best out of their trip? What would you say?
Mostly we go through life blindly blundering along. You know, I don't think anybody intends to be an asshole. They don't mean it. But I think depending on how you've grown up, depending on how much privilege you've had, because of course in safari circles, we're talking about wealthy individuals largely. So they are used to getting what they want. But in terms of the message to the traveler, I suppose it's a question. And that's, what is it that you're really seeking?
They must just ask themselves that question.
Yeah. And maybe there's another way. Maybe there's something different. I don't know. Just, yeah, what is it that you're really seeking? And do some introspection and figure out what it is that you're yearning for. And then communicate with someone who's a sophisticated travel expert. And they could find you, help you find that connection, if possible. But I don't know. Travelage is a huge, I mean, it's so soul nourishing, but it's a huge privilege, James. I mean, today's world is expensive. Going to amazing places costs a lot of money. It takes time, often that people don't have. So remember how extraordinarily privileged you are to be in that position, especially in Africa, in these untouched places with absolute quiet. I always think about someone coming from New York or any major city in the world. Imagine what it's like for them sitting out there at the Atosha Pan or in the Mukhari Khari Plains or whatever it is, just silent. That's privilege.
That is privilege. And I think it's genuine hospitality. It's the blend of the two, isn't it?
The warmth.
The warmth of the African soul. And sometimes, I mean, you can go to the most incredible, iconic 5-star property at the Raffles in Singapore or the Ritz-Carlton. But are you really going to, you know, you might get a little bit more of an unrefined service excellence at a high-end lodge in Africa or a simple place, but not as nourishing, not as genuine, not as friendly, not as...
That's why we see people crying when they leave, you know, or as your little aircraft takes off and you see all those guides and lodge staff standing on the airstrip waving with both hands at you, you know, just magic.
To finish off our chats, in terms of this role of travel as transformative, and I wanted to just ask you a personal question about your life and your transition from travel industry person to life coach. Because in some respects, there's a lot of similarities. You're taking a person who's seeking something and bringing their dreams to reality. I suppose you could say you're doing something similar now where somebody's in need of something and some sort of transformation. And you get to be part of that journey just in a different way. How's it been?
Wow, I never thought of it that way, James. That's an amazing way of thinking of it. Is it's still taking someone on a journey. It's just a different type. My process, I mean, I had worked in travel and loved it. But, I mean, I'd worked in travel for about 16 years and got to 2020-ish, I suppose. It was COVID. And in fact, every client I speak to in my coaching world, the word COVID comes up relatively often because, of course, it's profoundly affected the whole world and who we are as people and how we see ourselves and how we fit in the world. And I was a travel planner and I worked for what felt like a year for free in COVID, canceling a million trips, postponing all these dates where there was no accommodation and no space and fighting for deposits. And, you know, it was an absolute bun fight. And I was tired. There's an Afrikaans word, which is moch. And I was moch at that point. I'd had enough. I'd been really interested in psychology. I had several years of undergraduate psychology at university. I studied education after school and went into a life orientation qualification. And I'd always been interested in psychology. And I had attended a few open days at the Graduate School of Business of UCT in Cape Town. They had these open days for coaching. And I was just drawn to it. And I had debated what to do, how to do it. You know, I was like, had this calling to change my life, but I didn't quite know how. And I felt quite stuck. And I fortuitously got a really nice refund from the tax man. And that was the catalyst that allowed me to say my goodbyes, resign from my job, study through UCT to become a coach, and launch my own business blindly, not having a clue what I was doing. and just having to have faith that it would work out. And you know who was there for me from the very beginning was the travel industry. It was my colleagues and my associates from travel. From day one, they backed me and they came and they were my earliest clients. And they are the ones that I can thank for my success in launching that coaching business. So amazing.
Wow, that's beautiful. Mm. You hear it a lot. I think we have a very special industry. We're involved in selling something so special.
Mm.
And it's a relationship business. You spoke about that as well. And yeah, I've seen a lot of people on LinkedIn and things like that who've gone through terrible things in life and challenges. And they just have to have this moment where they can go on somewhere, and a platform like LinkedIn is amazing for it. And just to say that the travel industry were there for them, their friends, their colleagues, their business partners around the world reached out to them, visited them, called them, sent them things, and genuinely had genuine compassion for them and whatever they'd gone through. And that counts for so much. And I don't really know how to end off this conversation other than just to say, everybody, I mean, a life coaching, it's definitely gaining momentum, and I think for all the right reasons. And I think if anybody is thinking about it or on the fence about it, you should definitely give it a go. You picked me up, as you know, at a time where I was really rock bottom in my life, and we've been together every 2 weeks ever since, you know. I think we're coming up to 3 years soon.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly look forward to every chat that we have, because, you know, it's not a chore. It's not homework. It's highly needed in our busy society these days. Doesn't matter how many friends or whatever you've got or good colleagues, you need a space, a safe space where you can take a step back, assess where you are in that moment or in that month, and just see where it's going and help. And you do so well in guiding and going through that moment. And even anyone who's not thinking about having a life coach, I think should, just throwing it out there.
Like, oh yeah, I have a coach. I believe in coaching. I have a coach myself, and wouldn't give it up for the world. Thanks, James, for saying that. But yeah. I mean, I feel the privilege is mine, and I mean we grow together. I promise you, I learn as much from you as you're absorbing from me. So it's a reciprocal thing. It's amazing. I pinch myself all the time. I cannot believe that I get to do this, and it works. It actually works. It's impossibly, it's simple, but it's not easy.
Yeah, you just got to let yourself go and trust the system.
Mm.
Well, thanks. What a wonderful chat. Loved it.
Thank you. I love this. I love seeing you in this space. I absolutely think what you're doing with Inspiring African Travel is amazing. And you talk about transformation. You are helping people think about the world in a new. And I mean, when you travel, and you travel extensively, you take us along on that journey with you. And it's so cool. Thank you for that.
Pleasure.